Our first scripture lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning, our gospel reading, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And as you might guess, this is Matthew's story of the baptism of Jesus as we celebrate and commemorate the baptism of the Lord Sunday. So let us listen to these words, to this familiar story, with open ears and open heart, so that we might hear them anew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, it started out quite ordinary, as ordinary as a baptism might go. I stood in front of the congregation next to the font, and the young parents were next to me, and the clerk of session was on the other side, and the parents held their son. and I started the liturgy. And I said, we have all come together today to celebrate the baptism of Christopher Jordan. And at that point, the father became quite animated, and he said, Nicholas, Nicholas. And I tried to just keep going. And he kept saying, Nicholas, Nicholas. I came to another portion of the liturgy. And this time I read from my liturgy book. As we baptize young Nicholas, and I could feel the father's tension release. You see, in my liturgy book, the baptism pages, which are quite wrinkled because they've had water on them for years, I usually erase the name of the child that was baptized last, and I put in the next child's name. And I had done that in every place but the very beginning, and evidently the last child I'd baptized was named Christopher. And we got to the end of the service, and the father says, oh, thank God you caught it. I thought we were going to have to change his name. There was another occasion where a Methodist minister friend of mine says some young parents came to him, and they said, Pastor, would you do the honors of christening our child? And my Methodist friend said, I would love to do that, but you need to understand one thing. It's going to hurt that baby when I hit him with a bottle of champagne. Now, I share these two stories with you today just as an example of all the different ways that we have of viewing a baptism. I want to share a reading with you here. This is a reading from our Presbyterian Book of Order, from the Directory for Worship. And I want to read just one paragraph here where it talks about baptism. It says, the sacrament of baptism holds a deep reservoir of theological meaning, including dying and rising with Jesus Christ, pardon, cleansing, and renewal, the gift of the Holy Spirit, incorporation into the body of Christ, and a sign of the realm of God. The Reformed tradition understands baptism to be a sign of God's covenant. The water of baptism is linked with the waters of creation, the flood, and the Exodus. And baptism thus connects us with God's creative purpose, cleansing power, and redemptive promise from generation to generation. Isn't that an amazing statement? We see baptism in so many different ways, and the symbolism of baptism can cover so many different theological perspectives. And one of my favorite parts about being a Presbyterian is that we have a variety of interpretations of different pieces of our faith. And we practice it in different ways. We're given guidance in our confessions and in our Book of Order, which are far from being restrictive. They're quite open to different interpretations and different practices. Because there's a key phrase that we learn as we become members of a Presbyterian congregation, and it's something that we are led to say in ordination vows. And this key perspective is that we will be led and guided by our scriptures and our confessions and our polity. We are not told to toe the line. We're not told that there's one way or the highway. We are to be led and guided by. And we are given this amazing flexibility in passages like I just read from our directory for worship. One of my favorite parts of that piece I just read is the part that says, "The water of baptism is linked to the waters of creation, the flood and the Exodus. Baptism thus connects us with God's creative purpose." Baptism brings us back to the very moment of creation in our scriptures, when the story tells us that the Spirit moved over the water. All of creation comes from the water. We come from the water. I mean, it's a scientific and medical fact that our bodies are made up of a large percentage of water. We are made up of hydrogen and oxygen, forming water. We're made up of carbon. Many of you have heard me say this quite irreverently before. We're nothing but dirt, water, and air. That's what we are. But we are an amazing bag of dirt, water, and air. Just stop and think a minute about how amazing your physical body is. How many of you thought about taking the last breath you just took? How many of you think about seeing what you see and hearing what you hear? Are you aware right now that what you had for breakfast is being turned into electrical impulses that are being sent to your brain, that are being sent to different parts of your body, your limbs? No, we're not aware of that. It just happens. But to stop and consider this is an absolutely amazing, awesome thing. It's even awesome when our bodies aren't quite working the way they should. And I know for a lot of us that is something we deal with. As we get older, things just don't work the way they used to. But even when they're not working the way we think they ought to, they're still working. We are amazing creatures. And we come from the creative waters. Now that's what our creation story tells us. We can look at this from a scientific perspective. We can take all of these dynamics that I just mentioned, and we know that these are characteristics that have developed and evolved and have allowed humanity to become who we are today. It also tells us that we are connected to all of creation. To echo words that Jeff shared with the young people earlier in our service, we are connected to each other. We are connected to everything. Because everything comes out of the waters of creation over which the Spirit moves. That's why I find this phrase so inviting, that it connects us with creation. And one part of creation that we as people of biblical faith hold on to is that creation is good. Now, good in the sense of the Old Testament Hebrew language doesn't necessarily have to do with pleasant and unpleasant. Good is much more an understanding of wholeness and completeness. That everything is whole and everything is complete. And creation is good, and we, being part of creation, also have that goodness in us. What does the story of creation tell us in Genesis? It tells us this was created, it was good. 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 We were created, we are good. And then at the end of that creation story, it says on the final day, God looked at creation and said, it is very good. All of it. And when we come to the waters of baptism, we are reminded of the innate, eternal goodness of creation from which we come. The story also tells us that we are created in God's image. We are the reflection of God. We talked about some of this last week. We are the reflection of God. One way that the Bible tells us this, especially, there's a place in Ephesians that especially does this, when Paul says, you are the good works of God. And this, the word that's used for works there is poeme. And it is the Greek word from which we get our English word poem. We are a creation of God. We are God's poetry. And baptism reminds us that this is who we are. We come from the waters of creation. We are connected to all of creation. We are created in the image of God as God's poetry. And then we are given that creative spirit and live in creation. In our primary duty, again, according to our scriptural story, our first and primary duty is to care for creation. And that means taking care of the earth. That means taking care of the atmosphere. That means taking care of animals and plants. That means taking care of each other. That means taking care of ourselves. And as we try to comprehend this complete connectivity, we look at this story of Jesus coming to be baptized. And perhaps what this story may be communicating to us is Jesus showing us the way. Jesus insisting that he be baptized. And insisting that he be baptized, he is showing us that he too is human, part of this creation, that we are connected in the same ways with Jesus through this story. And when he comes out of the water, there's a voice. Now in Matthew's version of the story, it says Jesus is the only one that hears this. It says Jesus sees the dove. Jesus sees the light. Jesus hears the voice. Now, in other gospel versions, it says the other people did as well. But Matthew's version has this as an experience of Jesus. One could even imagine it's Jesus' own self-discovery of this amazing thing, of being connected to all of creation. And then living a life that is exemplary of that connectivity. A life that we are called to. It's the new thing that the passage from Isaiah talks to us about. That new thing is taking care of the poor, taking care of the prisoner, taking care of creation. And why? Because we're connected. When we take care of the creation in which we live, we take care of ourselves. And in the waters of baptism, we are reminded of this. And that's just one way to look at baptism. There are other ways that we experience baptism. I personally think this is probably the most encompassing representation of the waters of baptism, because it also calls us into a reality where we have the Spirit descending on us. We have a voice telling us, you are my beloved. And in you I am well pleased, because you are my poem, you are my poetry, you are my image. And it's all good. It's all very good. We're going to renew our vows of baptism. I started my sermon this morning with a couple of humorous stories about couples misunderstanding the Reformed understanding of baptism and calling it a christening. It's not a christening in our tradition. We don't have a baptism to make sure that your name is John or Susan or Sally or Robert or... But then again, it is a naming ceremony, because it tells us who we really are. We are the beloved of God. That's who you are. That's your name at the deepest essence of who you are. And the words of this great hymn we just sang give us a picture of how to live into who we are. And it takes courage, and it takes wisdom. So let us go from this place remembering our baptism. Remember who you are. You are beloved by God. Amen.